Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Ashwarya.
Before, in the previous episode, we spoke about the general idea of startups and all the things that can go wrong, but why is it worthwhile for them? But as an entrepreneur, everybody's journey is different. Everybody faces different challenges at different times, even though they can be very similar in nature. So, what do you think is the most optimal mindset to keep when facing these challenges?
Very interesting question. I think the first and most important thing for any entrepreneur is to keep his or her sanity, because it's a thankless job, or as someone says, it's a very, very lonely job. There are very, very few people who you can confide in, because very often when an entrepreneur starts to speak about his or her challenge or worries, it can be seen as a vulnerability or a sign of weakness. So I think there are lots of things that an entrepreneur has to keep at the back of their mind before they start moving. But I think what is important is to be realistic. And when I say realistic, it means that, we all have big aspirations. We all want to build massive organizations. We all want to have billion-dollar revenues or billion-dollar valuations. We all want to be known everywhere. We all want to be recognized, and so on. What we forget is that we need to take baby steps to start heading towards our goal. And therefore, I tell a lot of people that when you set your milestones, keep them bite-sized, small milestones, which you can keep measuring, which you can keep recording, and which you can keep holding people accountable to. So I think that is the first thing that I would say, that when doing your milestones, be realistic. And then, of course, there are the other sets of things which we have spoken about in the past, but it's important for people to have good management teams. It's important for people to delegate well. And after doing all this, what's most important is to build an organization where you're having fun.
People struggle a lot with these challenges, and there's no one solution to it. And everybody, like we addressed, has different problems. They're all personal in some way or the other. Should they seek help?
It's very interesting. The human mind has been conditioned into solving all the problems on their own. Because if you reach out to someone for help, it is seen as a sign of weakness. And nothing could be further away from the truth than that. As an entrepreneur, you've already taken some very, very courageous steps in sticking your neck out and going down the path that you have been dreaming of. And there is no way on earth that you could have answers to every possible question. So I always tell people, seek out mentors, seek out knowledgeable people, look for good advice, and more often than not, you will have someone who will put their hand up and say, "I will help you," or "I will counsel you." In some cases, you may have to pay for it. So, for example, I always tell people, when you are ramping up a business, you must have a good lawyer, and you must have a good finance person who can handle your accounting and your taxes, because you're not expected to know either of these things, but they will be able to flank you when it comes to challenges that you may come that you will encounter, either as far as the outside world is concerned, or as far as the taxes are concerned, or as far as accounting is
Even
concerned,
the internal environment of a
and the
company.
internal environment as well. So every entrepreneur must have absolutely no hesitation in asking for help and in seeking out experts who can counsel them.
And where do you think would these channels be? Do you think they lie in friends, or they lie in outside teams, or are there any online portals that can help you get there?
Today there are a lot of opportunities
to
get help.
Mm.
If you want specialized help, whether it's a lawyer or an accountant or a tax consultant, there are plenty available.
Mm.
But then there are also organizations to coach you.
Yeah.
And Equation Coaching is one such organization where there are several experienced coaches who can be available to guide you, to counsel you, and to ask you tough questions so that you know you can hold yourself accountable for what you set yourself as a target. So there is no shortage of good help available now.
When it comes to such challenges, do you think friends do a better job, friends or family, or do you think a lot of times a third person who's coming from an outside environment and seeing in has a better perspective on things?
So it depends on the nature of the challenge that you're faced with. In early days, it's good to ask friends and family. But when the challenges start to get a little tricky, then friends and family may not necessarily challenge you to say that, you know, you're not doing the right thing, you know, because they don't want to hurt you. And that's where I think external counsel is critical, because an external body or individual will be far more ruthless about addressing the challenges you're facing as compared to someone from one of your friends or some of your family members.
Plus, I also think that if you don't come from a family full of businessmen, your friends who are, or family won't even understand the nature of the problem.
Correct. So that of course,
yeah, is there. They won't be well versed with how to answer it for you.
But what I'm saying is that even if you have a very, very good and competent lawyer friend, I would recommend that for informal advice, go to the person.
Yeah.
But formal advice, seek out
professional help.
A professional.
And if you're talking about tips, everybody who gets into the momentum of things has to change their management style a little bit. Even when it comes to scaling up, you, like you said in the previous episode also, that you need to include more businesses and processes in. What are some of the helpful tips that you can offer when it comes to changing your management style as you transition into self-employment?
So, you know, this is an interesting challenge every entrepreneur faces. When I started Guardian, I had four people who were working very closely with me. And that was when we had two or three stores. We were very small. So a lot of decisions would get taken around the lunch table or sitting in having a cup of coffee. But as the business started to grow, we had to bring in a different group of people. And the people and the initial founding team then started to feel that I, as the founder, had started to ignore them. And I wasn't ignoring those people at all. What I was trying to do was to embrace the new people who were coming in. On the assumption that the founding team members were people who would automatically understand. That didn't happen. And a lot of the initial team members of the of Guardian left us and went because they thought that there was no place left for them. So I think what happens is that the management style of an entrepreneur, when he is a founder, is very different from when more professionals come in. And that changes again when it starts going from a medium-sized company into a large company. Because at the first stage of life in a company, it is the sheer brute strength of the entrepreneur and the management team that takes it up to a point. The next stage that happens is because if 30, 40, 50 people are putting their shoulder to the wheel and pushing the organization. But when you start getting into larger scale, it is the systems and processes that drive it. And therefore, at each stage, you need different skill sets to be able to manage. When your systems are driving it, you need to be able to understand how to read your numbers, how to look at what the challenges are, rather than roll up your sleeves and say, I'm going to get down into the trenches and sort out the problem myself.
And talking about the incident where they felt isolated, the founding management team, do you think it's important to address these things in an office environment, in an entrepreneurial environment, or do you think it's something very trivial? And
no, it's not trivial at all, because this is dealing with people. But there's also no direct way to address it. Because, you know, if I've got three people who I'm working with when I have started a company, and now I've got 15 people, the 12 people who have joined later on will demand my attention. And the three people who joined first will want to be the first amongst equals.
Yes.
Because they were there when it all started. So somewhere along the line, it becomes necessary to be able to communicate this to the team.
Yeah.
And mind you, it's not just the first three and then the next 12.
It's it's
when the next 12 gets to 100, the 12 who have joined now will start to feel less empowered, because they'll say, oh, now we've got another 88 people who have joined us. So communication is important. But at the same time, understanding of the people who are the early colleagues, that is even more important.
And they the trajectory of the business.
And the trajectory of the business.
Yeah. As the company grows and comes very close to your vision of how you want it to be and how big you want it to be, obviously, like you said, you need to have small bite-sized goals in mind that will help you achieve the short-term goals, that will help you later then achieve the long-term goals. How do you stay the course? Because you are juggling so many things at once, and it's very easy to feel intimidated and overwhelmed by some of it, considering you're in a very nascent stage of your business and you have to manage all of it together. How do you stay the course?
Keep your head down. Keep working. Don't let problems hassle you. Keep delivering, keep communicating with your people, and most importantly, keep yourself fit enough to be able to work that 18-20 hours a day. So as an entrepreneur, staying the course and reaching out to the place where you want to reach is a challenge. Right? You will anticipate some problems, but there will be dozens of other challenges that will come that you don't even know when they will hit you. And you know, it's like running the gauntlet. You know, you don't know from where what is going to hit you. So you got to keep looking around all over the place
and run.
Keep running straight.
Yeah.
And this time you're not just running yourself, because you're carrying a team of people with you. So you got to make sure that not only do you cross over to the other side, but you carry your entire team with you.
You know, it's funny. You've mentioned it several times that you started Guardian at 46. And obviously, we've also, you know, sort of tackled the stigma that you don't need to be young or old when you're starting a startup. Did you ever think, with between your 8-hour, 18-hours, 20-hour workdays, did you ever feel that it eased down a little bit? Did you feel like, you know, you taking it back to the reference that you just made, that it's very important to have the fitness to be able to carry it all off? Did you ever have an easy day?
No, I don't remember having an easy day. But at the end of each day, I would come back and say that I'm satisfied with what I have done. What definitely happened was that the type of challenges kept on changing, because the company was growing at an absolutely crazy pace. So, you know, I was delegating, I had some great people working with us. And as we were growing the company, people were taking over from what was the routine business, but then something new would keep coming up. And at one stage, I used to tell our leadership team that, you know, my job is to keep clearing all the speed breakers on the road, so that when you guys are running, you know, you don't hit any speed breaker. And then I should tell a lot of our younger people that, you know, I have to explain to them about what my role could be And of course, I was older than everyone else. I just say, I'm going to be the goalkeeper. Right. So as you are going out and running and scoring goals,
I'm defending.
I'm going to make sure nobody shoots a goal on our side. So I'll be standing behind you.
Yeah.
So the role keeps on changing. There is not a single day when you can say that I'm going to ease off.
Yeah.
Even on vacations, the phone was always on. Email was always on. It was fun.
And what would, considering this is how your time went, what was the most risky challenge that you had to overcome? I know there can't be just one. There must have been many. But did you encounter such an instance where you thought that this is very risky?
So I think I won't talk of business risks because I think there are lots of risks that keep happening.
Hmm.
But I think the biggest risk that an entrepreneur takes is to keep himself or herself motivated.
Hmm.
Right? You're running a big business.
Yeah.
You are building. You're keeping your teams motivated. You're seeing results. Hmm. You're answering questions. You're confronting challenges. When you come back at the end of the day, dead tired, how do you motivate yourself to start all over
again
a few hours later?
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the biggest challenges that an entrepreneur faces.
Okay. Considering that, it's motivation is one of the bigger challenges that an entrepreneur faces. How do you strike a balance? How did you strike a balance when your life aspects had to adjust because the ventures demands got more and more excessive and more demanding? How did you strike a balance?
So I had told my family that, you will have to accept my work life at least for the next 5 or 6 years because I won't have much time for you. And it was just a chance or good fortune that the year I founded Guardian was the year when both my sons went out to study overseas.
Hmm.
So they were busy with their education.
Hmm.
My wife was busy with her American school.
Hmm.
And I was busy building Guardian. But I've spoken to many, many entrepreneurs.
Hmm.
And I think an issue they all try and address is how do you carry all your loved ones with you? So that they understand that you are not present all the time for them, not because you don't want to, but because of the commitment that you have taken on of building a business.
Hmm.
And I think in most cases, families and loved ones tend to understand
because they know that you're chasing something bigger.
Correct.
Okay, so considering that there are so many things that an entrepreneur has to tackle, if you had to sum up the top learnings for people that are starting up today or are thinking of starting up today, what would you say? If you had to tell me 5 top essentials that you need to have ready to go before you start your entrepreneurial business, what do you think they would be?
Okay, so Ashwara, to answer your question, I think there are a few pointers that I would probably try and highlight. Other than, of course, all the points that we have discussed already. First and foremost is to manage your time well. Entrepreneurs tend to get too carried away and get too involved in too much detail. And before you know it, it's time to go home or end of the day and start another the next morning.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important to prioritize and manage time well. So necessarily be very judicious with your time. The second point that I would think of is, in your management team, be ready to share information, but do it only on a need-to-know basis.
Okay.
A mistake that I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs make is that they assume that if they share everything with everybody, that's their way of being good managers.
Yeah.
Nothing could be more nothing could be further away from the truth than that, because the more information you give out, the more about your organization you're giving away. And everyone doesn't need to know everything. So share information, but you know, as and when it's necessary, and on a need to know basis. The next one would be to lead by example. When you lead, what I mean when I say lead by example is really that in an organization, the rules must be the same for the entrepreneur and for all the employees. We cannot have a situation where I, as the entrepreneur, say that, oh, I have the freedom to come to office at 11 a.m., but you must be in office at 9 a.m., right? Because very soon some smart individual would say that, why the hell should I have to be here at 9 and you come at 11?
Yeah.
After all, we're working together. And there's a very big difference between ownership and management.
Yeah.
You own the company. That's because you founded it. But I'm working with you. So therefore, it's important to be able to do things in the organization that apply to you as much as it applies to anyone else. We had the biometric machines, and one of the things that I had told everybody that I will also mark my attendance. And people used to say that, why do you have to mark your attendance? I said, because when I come here as the managing director of the company, and not as the founder or the largest shareholder of the company. So I said, the day I change my role to being a shareholder, I don't need to come to office every day. Right. So therefore, that was something that you know, we had to do. And the next one is that in any organization, and more so in the case of a startup, it's important for the entrepreneur to give feedback to the people. Again, this is something I've seen repeatedly, that, you know, the entrepreneur does the interviews, hires the people, but when it comes to time for an annual appraisal, the entrepreneur shirks that responsibility. And that's only because he or she doesn't want to confront an awkward situation. And from an employee's perspective, the individual is expecting you to get feedback on how have I performed in the last 12 months. Because based on the feedback that you give me on my performance, I need to know what kind of increment I'm going to get. Am I going to be promoted or not? And more importantly, do I need to course correct for my objectives for the next year?
Right?
So that's another area that I would talk about as necessary for a startup. And finally, as I said earlier also, at the end of the day, if you and your management team aren't having fun doing what you are, then it's going to be one hell of a boring place to work in. And not too many people will be hanging around with the entrepreneur.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.